in the book of Daniel, right in chapter 1. We'll spend most of our time there today, and we're going to dip also into the book of Colossians in the New Testament, and there we'll be in the third chapter. Amen. So while you're standing up, we're in this book of Daniel. Let's take a look at the first eight verses. Read here, it says that in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Amen?
Amen.
Let's dip over into Colossians. There, the third chapter. And the first few verses read this way. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, he says this to the believer, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord. Going to spend a little bit of time with you this morning, and we just want to talk on the subject, it takes one person. Amen. It takes one person. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we look to you now, for in you is our life. Allow us to surrender our will before you today, to lend our attention to your word, and to find ourselves positioned, spiritually positioned, where you are. Give us grace to be receptive to your call, and purpose our hearts to remain steadfast in the face of adversity. We thank you and we love you, O Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Just want to say today that it just takes one. Amen. It only takes one person. Amen. And, you know, we're here today. We're in the city of Philadelphia, the birthplace of liberty. The city of brotherly love, amen, known for cheesesteaks, the world champion Philadelphia Eagles, amen, And a particular note today, I'd like to draw your attention that we're also known worldwide as the City of Murals. Amen. Mural Arts Philadelphia is the nation's largest public art program, dedicated to the belief that art ignites change. And for over 30 years, Mural Arts has united artists and communities through a collaborative and equitable process, creating nearly 4,000 artworks, and they've transformed public spaces, people, and practice. Amen? One of these murals today is just about 100 feet down the road. Amen? And you'll find it where our SEPTA bus stop is at 61st and Pine. And this painting, it was led by an artist, Eric Oakday, along with the work of the men at State Correctional Institution Graterford and David Gray. Amen? This mural is a tribute to Rosa Parks, whose decision marked a key point in America's civil rights history for her role in the Montgomery bus boycott. It was her decision to break the color lines of public transportation in 1955 that inspired the NAACP and others to continue the fight against Alabama segregation laws. Amen? Amen. And at the bottom of this mural, about 100 feet down the road, amen, right at our except the bus stop, amen, it says these words. It says, it takes one person, a tribute to Rosa Parks, amen. So I say to you today, it takes one person, amen. And with that as our backdrop, we look at the book of Daniel, and we find in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Amen? I just want to start here with this situation with the nation of Israel going through rough times. And certainly they had had a history of warfare, but this is a time when they're on the losing end. Amen? And it's in this defeated position that they're at risk politically, militarily, and economically. Amen? All the way down to the family household, as we find that Nebuchadnezzar's twisted reign, he goes in and he takes the children. Amen? Clearly, these are rough times. Amen? But the writer is particular to note in these short verses that there was also a spiritual deficit in Jerusalem. Amen. A directed attack on the house of God, the church, if you would. Verse 2, we find the vessels of God carried from Jerusalem to Shinar. We can say this from the church to the secular system. What we're saying here is that these vessels, these resources, these gifts, these talents, that which was holy and intended to be used for worship with the Most High God has now been carried away to the enemy. Amen? And the theologian Matthew Henry finds part of this fault in the lack of concern for holiness, pointing to the treasures of pagan idols that were mixed in with the treasury of Judah from previous generations. Henry says this, that when men profane the vessels of the sanctuary with their sins, it is just with God to profane them with his judgments. Amen? Jesus said it a little bit different way in Matthew 6:21. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen? Guard your heart. Matthew Henry is warning that bringing secular into the most holy place of God has consequence. For the holy places of God are meant for fellowship with him, a place of communion where grace and mercy and deliverance can be found. Amen? So Judah's in this situation somewhat to a fault of their own, But to make matters worse, not only are the vessels of the sanctuary taken, but also their children. It says in verses 3 and 4 where we find that they are taken hostage. Amen. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Amen? Amen. So Nebuchadnezzar takes the promise. Nebuchadnezzar takes the promised generation. He takes human trophies, amen, hostages, the youth, and he does so to present evidence of his victory. Amen. He gains cooperation from the parents who would then be concerned for their youth that were taken away. Amen. And he trains them. He then takes them in a young age when they're still able to be taught, still able to be influenced. And he takes them. Look at the enemy's plan. He takes our children at a young age to train them to serve in his court, not God's court, but the enemy's court. Amen. His strategic system was not only to defeat his enemies, but to change them, to destroy their cultures and their beliefs, and to integrate future generations into the ways of the Chaldeans. Amen. Glory to God. This was a dire situation. Amen. This was a situation not just affecting them of that age, but the ages to come. And I say that even what God shows us, God begins to reveal his system. Because even in these same words, even in distress, God reveals one of his principles, and that is that we must be teachable. Amen. We must be teachable. Amen. We see the evil intentions of Nebuchadnezzar, but we also see the strategy of God's principle of learning. In his holy word, he teaches us over and over that dedication to learning is a vital component of our individual, spiritual, and societal life. Proverbs 4 and 7 and 8, we know it. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse 8, he says, exalt her. He says, exalt her. That means put learning and wisdom above. Amen. And she shall promote thee. Wisdom shall promote thee. Amen. Glory to God. And here's the thing that I like, amen, because sometimes we look at our own self, we look at our own talents, we look at our own abilities, and we feel that somehow we don't measure up, that maybe we're not the one that was called to learn. We're not the one that was called to be teachable. But what does he tell us in James chapter 1 in verse 5? He says, if any of you lack wisdom, glory to God, let him ask of God that gives it liberally. Glory to God. God's got your answer. Amen. Amen. You want to be taught? Amen. God's got an answer for you. Amen. We've got to be teachable. Amen. No matter what our situation, even if we are besieged and taken hostage, God says today we must be teachable. Amen. We're going back to school this week. Amen. That's our lesson. If we look at our school system today, amen, if we look at issues and troubles and things that we're going through nationwide, amen, to some degree it might be a situation where we're taken hostage, amen. But the scripture positions us for our responsibility to learn. And some of our students going away to new schools and universities, some adults are moving into continuing education programs. Some are picking up courses online. And you know what? Some are even taking courses at Turning the Tide. Amen? All in the search of wisdom. Amen? And once you open up yourself to seek knowledge, once you open up yourself and you go out, and you may find yourself even in the enemy's school, amen, you find very quickly that in this process of learning comes for you as the person of God, you find yourself in an identity crisis. Amen? Right. Verse 5 says, the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. This was King Nebuchadnezzar's college. Amen?
Right.
3 years, amen, of teaching, eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine. Verse 6, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Amen. I like their Hebrew names. But it says, verse 7, unto the whom the prince of the eunuchs gave him names, he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, to Hananiah of Shadrach, to Mishael of Meshach, and as to Azariah of Abednego. Amen. And when you're taken into the world and you receive this kind of conflict, come on, are there any students in the house? And what I'm saying is that as soon as you change your environment, there's an intermixing of beliefs. And you'll find that not everyone walks according to the ways that we've been taught in God's Word. Amen? It becomes more complex because also in these situations, there seems to be some spirituality in the mix. Amen? Something that is not certainly not God, but it has a familiar nature. Amen? The trick of the enemy. Amen? And almost immediately, before you can even break open a book or listen to the first lecture from your professor, you're facing an identity crisis. Amen? A directed attack against your spiritual integrity. Amen? This is what's going on. Let's look at 5 and 6. I'm going to break down. King Nebuchadnezzar, he institutes two charges against them. The first charge, he attacks their cultural identity as Jews. Amen? Although the king intended to show favor by offering students to eat from the king's table, it was, as Daniel describes, a defilement to a Jew. The Jewish people were known to follow a strict diet, so strict that it would identify them before other nations. Amen? This set of dietary laws is called the kashrut, often referred to in today's society as kosher. That's how we relate to it. And it's mostly found throughout the books of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Amen. So the defilement that Daniel speaks of is not only in the food itself, but it is in the loss of identity to hide his faith. Amen. In other words, Daniel's crisis was whether to shut up and eat. Amen. Just to do what everybody else was doing to fit in. Or would he let his light shine? Amen? Would he be like the city on top of a hill? Would he strive to keep in the way that God gave him to keep? Amen? The way God told him to live. This was an attack on their cultural identity. The second charge, he attacks their generational identity as Jews. Amen? In verse 6, we find the prince of the eunuchs changing their names. And in part, this was partly done to make it easier to speak in the language of the Chaldeans, but it also separated them from the names passed down to them by their family. Amen? So, you know, partly so that they could say it. Amen? And y'all see how much trouble I'm having saying Belshazzar this morning. Amen? So they know how to say it. If you're not that way, it might be a little different. But Matthew Henry, he talks about this, and he writes, he says, the Hebrew names, their Hebrew names, which the Jewish boys, they received at their communion, they had something of God in them. Amen. Daniel, meaning God is my judge. Hananiah, meaning the grace of the Lord. Amen. Mishael, meaning he that is the strong God. Amen. And Azariah, the Lord is a help. Amen. Glory to God. So that's their God-given names, but to make them forget the God of their fathers, the guide of their youth, they give them the names that savor from Chaldean idolatry. So Belshazzar signifies the keeper of the hidden treasures of Bel. Shadrach, the inspiration of the sun, which the Chaldeans worshipped. Meshach, of the goddess Shach, under which the name Venus was worshipped. And Abednego, the servant of the shining fire, which they worshipped also. Amen? So look, this is where I'm challenging myself. I'm challenging to get off of this Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Amen? To call them instead by their Hebrew names. Amen? We in Sunday school, that's how we learned the lesson about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was the Hebrew names, but that was not their Hebrew God-given name. Amen? Amen? Challenge ourselves to get it right. Come on, when we learn a little something, amen? Lord of God, let's be teachable. But in verse 8, amen, things start to change. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Come on, read that. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Amen. And that word purposed means that Daniel made a decision to follow God. Amen. Even in his situation, his captivity in a foreign land, separated from family and friends, Daniel purposes in his heart and makes a decision to continue serving the Lord. Amen. And with this decision, amen, listen, with this decision, Daniel takes action and speaks up, amen, pleading his case humbly to the prince of the eunuchs. Amen. Maybe he was reflecting on Isaiah 55, and it said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Amen. Daniel had some insight about God. Amen. And the result of the matter, and many of us know this here today, the result of the matter, if we tried God for some time, the result of the matter is that if we sometimes would challenge ourselves and make a decision to follow God, what we'll find is that God's way works. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Anybody, just if you have a testimony of God, just wave your hand just once. Yeah. Amen? Glory to God. Verse 9, it says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my Lord who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Amen. So in other words, he's saying, look, Daniel, I'm only doing my job. This is the way things are. This is the way it's set up. Daniel, we're cool. We're cool, but I'm not trying to get in trouble with my boss. Amen? So Daniel continues. Verse 12, he says, well, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And let our countenances be looked upon thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Yeah. Amen. Daniel proposes a trial run, a test. Amen. Amen. In verse 15 and 16, we see the victory. It says, at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the meat of the portion of the king's meat. So much so that in verse 16, it says, Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. Amen? God provides the victory. Amen? God provides the victory. So let's just recap. Let's take a walk back into this. We see first the moral situation of Jerusalem leading to their captivity by the king of Babylon. Amen. We find them in this moral situation. Secondly, we find Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, all skillful, wise, and teachable students. They're taken hostage by the king to learn the ways of the Chaldeans and be integrated into their culture. Amen. Thirdly, we find that the secular provisions of the king, they conflict with their Hebrew faith. Amen. And the Hebrew boys face an identity crisis by which their faith is tested. Amen. But fourth, here we find that Daniel makes a decision to follow God. He overcomes the fear of his situation, humbly requests an opportunity to walk out his faith. Amen. All resulting in a witness to us that God's way works. Amen. His ways higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. Amen. And in many ways, we could leave the story here. In many ways, it could be concluded, and that could be all. But if we learn, if we go a little further, if we say, I want to learn a little bit more, we can add to this list. Amen? Because I want to propose to you today that not only does God's way work, but obedience leads to favor. Amen? Obedience leads to favor. And verse 17 is, As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Amen? See, when they started, when they were taken hostage, they were skillful and teachable. They were talented. Amen? But it is after that they make a decision to follow God, all right, that the increase comes. Amen? It's at this point, after they make a decision to follow God's ways, that God grants them knowledge and increases their wisdom. Amen? Look, if you're talented, you're going to be talented. Amen? Whatever that carries out, whatever that rides out, amen, it's gonna go its course, amen? Yeah. But what God is promising to the believer, amen, is that when you are obedient to my ways, there will be favor, and not only for you, but for your house. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Come on, you know, verse 18 and 20, it just tells us so much more. They excelled much more than their counterparts. There was none other found like them. Their wisdom, it says, was 10 times better than anyone else the king had on his staff. Amen? Amen. Verse 19, the king communed with them, and among them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. It says, therefore, they stood before the king. Amen? Amen? Amen. You guys know that verse that says, make room for your gifts, amen? And it'll bring you before the presence of great men, amen? It says, make room for your gifts. It means lend them back to the Lord, amen? Give them back to the Lord, amen? Glory to God. And it's obedience that leads to favor. We got to get this. It's obedience that leads to favor. It's not, I know we're in Philadelphia and they're telling us to trust the process. But it's not the process. Amen. It's not the steps. Amen. That was the lesson that we find in verse 16. Melzar sees the results of Daniel and the Hebrew boys, and he calculates it in his mind that I'm going to go through this, put them through the same process. I'm going to give them the same diet, and then I'll get the same results. Amen. But what he miscalculated is that it was not the process, but it was Daniel's faith.
That's right. That's right.
Not his diet, Daniel's faith. Yes. Not his diet, but it was Daniel's spiritual integrity.
That's
amen.
Right.
His obedience, yes, that led to favor. Amen. Yes. Come on, Psalm 37 and 34 hits on this. Come on, wait on the Lord and keep his way. It says, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Amen. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee. Amen. Come on, where are you looking to be exalted? Amen. Glory to God. This the theologian Andrew Murray, he keys in on this in his book. He's got a book called Waiting on God. And here he says, when waiting on God, listen to this, we need to be very careful that we keep his ways. He says, out of these, we can never expect to find him. We may be sure that God is never and nowhere to be found but in his ways. Amen. So what he's saying, we have to get in God's process. We have to get in God's way. We have to go to the place where God is. We have to worship where God is. Amen. We can't stay out. God does not bless us in the miry clay. God reaches down into the miry clay and brings us out. Amen. To blessing. Amen. Murray continues. He says this is a close connection. He says a close connection between the two parts. Wait on the Lord, which has to do with worship and our spiritual position, and keep his ways that deals with walk and work. Amen. The outer life must be in harmony with the inner, and the inner must be the inspiration and the strength for the outer. Amen. It is God who has made known his ways in his word for our conduct and invites our confidence for his grace and help in our heart. Amen. So it's no surprise that God encourages us in the way of learning and understanding, because he's put it in this book, the secrets and of his way. Amen. And he reveals it in this word, our Holy Bible that he's given to us, every way. Amen. It says, come on, you want to hear this? You want to hear this? If we do not keep his ways, our waiting on him can bring no blessing. Murray says, the surrender to a full obedience to all at his will is the secret of full access to all the blessings of God's fellowship. Amen. Obedience leads to favor. Amen. Such amazing favor in this case, in this situation with the Hebrew boys, that it extended all the way to his family left home in Jerusalem. Amen. It's just a few chapters later from here that the same king of Babylon that besieged Jerusalem and stole their youth, taking them hostage and bringing them back, it's the same king that makes this decree that once he views the faith, once he views the God of the Hebrew boys, he says that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver of this sort. Amen. Amen. There's another sermon about that, but he's saying that, you know, we start with the besiege in the first chapter, but just a few chapters later, amen, obedience leads to favor, not just for them, but for those that were left back at home. Amen. You know, I started off this morning, and I came to tell you that it takes one person. Amen. One person's decision, one person's obedience that can lead to favor for an entire nation. One person in Rosa Parks
inspired the NAACP to press forward against segregation. One person in Daniel inspired his peers, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, to make a decision for God and to bring favor to Israel. Amen. It takes one person. And so I'm asking you this morning, I have to ask, what decisions are you making? Amen. Jerusalem was in a rough situation. One believed to be caused by a moral deficit. So what decisions are we making about our own moral situation? What decisions are we making about improving our wisdom? Are we teachable, or do we know it all already? Let's look at it this way. If Philadelphia 2018, 2019 was to paint a mural of your life, how would it look? You see, the murals actually, they highlight, they can't get the whole thing, but they highlight different sections, the ups and the downs, and normally because it's a tribute, they cover what most favors you, but I'm saying Philadelphia is painting this, but the one who commissioned it this time was God. So God says paint it all. So if God was to get with the city of Philadelphia to paint a mural of your life, how would it look? Amen. Would there be something in there showing a significant point where you made a stand for God? Would it depict significant change that was brought in the lives of others, your family, your friends, your neighborhood? When you look, you and God, you stand back and you look at this mural. Are you looking at victory or defeat? Amen. Glory to God. You know, I've come to tell you, because I can do that. I can look back at my own life. And I can look back at where my own mural might be. And if I was standing there with God, I might even try to get in front of part of it. God, you know, might want to stand here. God said, look at that over there, God. I'm hiding all this behind me, amen. You know what? But I would tell you today that it takes one person. And it took one person in the form of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. It took one person who would say, I will go. It took one person that said that he would come and live for me. That he would live and do it the right way. That he would be obedient to God. That he would prove to me that God's way works. Glory to God. And because of one person, in the form of Jesus Christ, I can tell you today that I have received the favor of God. Amen? So when I read Colossians, the third chapter, when it says, if I then have been risen with Christ, if I then seek those things that are above, if I would see where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God and that be my treasure. I set my affection on the things above and not on what this earth can provide. For I have realized that I am no longer the old man, but I stand before you as the new man. For in Christ I am now dead, and my life is hidden in him. Glory to God. It says, when Christ, who is now my life, shall appear, when this mural now appears, glory to God, it's no longer my mural. Glory to God. But it says, I'm now a part of the glory that shall appear. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. It takes one person, glory to God. So what will your decision be on today? What decision will you make for God? What decision will you make on the schoolyard? What decision will you make around the water cooler? What decision will you make in your neighborhood? Glory to God. I can tell you, God's way works. God's way works. God's way works. God's way works. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I'm finished. Ministers, y'all come along the way. Come on, y'all stand in God's house. And if there be one that has a testimony for the Lord, won't you give him praise? Won't you?